I fiddled with the squad car radio, finally landing on a late-night radio host preparing to start her show as the clock ticked past 10:30 at night. "Well, my loyal listeners, we are 9 days from what some scientists are calling the biggest astrological phenomena in human history. Sure, we've all seen a solar eclipse or a meteor shower, but never together in the middle of the freaking day," a deep alto voice said through the car speakers. "According to most reports, those of us on the East Coast, especially here in the Boston area, will be in the direct path of the eclipse. So get your glasses early and get ready for what everyone is calling a pretty amazing show. The city is reporting that the best place to check this out is down on the common. So, listeners, let me know. Will you be there?" she continued. "It just means that we're going to be doing crowd control," my partner, Jacqueline DeWitt, muttered. I turned my attention to her. Caramel-skinned, with dark hair held in a tight bun at the nape of her neck, Jackie kept one hand loosely on the steering wheel as she cranked the heater. She only succeeded in filling the car with harsh, cold air. We'd been partnered only a couple months. While I liked her enough, I didn't feel like we were friends. I wanted to agree with her and bemoan the likely detail, but I already had plans. When I was a little girl, I'd been told about the prophecy that laid out my destiny. I'd have to face off against some great evil when a solar eclipse and a meteor shower fell on the vernal equinox. The equinox was supposed to be a time when the world came back into balance between light and dark magic, neither one stronger than the other. Not like with the summer or winter solstice, when power ebbed and flowed toward good or evil. But this year had been different. The cold clung to the world longer than it should have. It was just that much harder to cast a spell. I'd spent the last decade honing my skills in preparation, but all the prep in the world couldn't quell the nugget of fear in my chest. "You okay?" Jackie's voice cut through my thoughts, pulling me back to the car and the icy air. Tiny beads of sweat broke out along the nape of my neck, chilling me even more. "Yeah, just thinking. You're right. Crowd control is going to suck." Even though I liked my partner, I couldn't share my burden with her. The magical community survived because of secrecy. The conversation was cut short by the dispatch radio sitting in the center console between us. "Units needed at the corner of Neyland Street and Albany Street." Jackie scooped up the radio. "Unit 57 responding. We're 2 blocks out." She flipped on the lights and siren and put the car in drive, pulling out into the traffic surrounding the common. We sped past at least 3 Dunkin' Donuts, rivaled in number only by the Starbucks on nearly every opposite corner, ignored the stoplights, and hung a hard left until we reached Neyland Street, nestled between Chinatown and the theater district. We pulled up to find an ambulance and the coroner's van parked on the street, blocking traffic. I spotted the assistant medical examiner, Patricia Caro, bent over an Asian man's body. Climbing from the passenger seat, I pulled my jacket tighter as the frigid air, another sign that the world was out of balance, wound its way through every fiber of my being. A gust of air tugged several strands of auburn hair loose, and I brushed them aside. A pair of uniformed officers cordoned off the area with crime scene tape and shooed a couple of nosy bystanders away so we could get by. Jackie pulled on latex gloves and went to join Trisha by the body. I kept my distance. Even from where I stood at the periphery of the scene, I could clearly see the man's chest was unnaturally concave, as if something had crushed him from above. A quick glance around the scene didn't present any obvious culprits. Something tickled my magical senses, begging me to pay attention, but I couldn't place it. I turned back to the body lying prone on the sidewalk. I'd never worked a homicide before, and my palms grew damp as the weight of the responsibility hit me. I glanced over at Jackie as she methodically moved around the scene. I could only hope to be as good as her.